Okay, good. We're at Faith Bible Church. This is the Thursday night Bible study. It's 7/31/2014 already. And tonight we're going to... I started this Sunday, but we didn't really get a whole lot farther into it. So I'm just going to go over this possibly again. We are objects of God's power, one of our spiritual blessings. And if we have time, I'm going to also go into the next topic with the spiritual blessing. We are beneficiaries of God's teaching. So let's open up with prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, we just thank you for your grace. Thank you for your faithfulness to us, Lord, even when we're not faithful. Thank you for your unconditional love, and thank you for your Holy Spirit that teaches us through your word, that teaches us only through grace. He never leads us in the law, but frees us in grace. And we thank you for that. We thank you for the age we live in. We thank you for complete forgiveness, all these spiritual blessings, and they're all in your Son. And we just thank you. We thank you we have access to you, Father, and for justifying us once forever. And that we don't have to work to perform for your acceptance, but we just know who we are in Christ, and we thank you for that. I pray your Holy Spirit would be the ultimate teacher here tonight. I pray that you would illumine those who are here, and you would anoint me from within, Father, by your Holy Spirit, and that we might just rejoice in the riches of your grace. In Jesus' name I pray, amen. So I'm going to just kind of highlight where we're at. Myrtle, were you here Sunday for Sunday school?
Yes.
Okay, so we're going to highlight that.
In here, though.
Oh, okay. Oh, well, this will be good then.
It will be very good. I have a question for you. You said we're objects of God's power.
And if we get to that, we are beneficiaries of God's teaching.
Okay.
So let's go to Ephesians 1, 15 to 23. And this is our apostle, the apostle Paul, the apostle of the body of Christ. Because you always got to ask, who's speaking or writing, and who are they speaking or writing to? So Paul is writing to the Ephesian that is part of the body of Christ. And so he's actually writing to us also. Wherefore, I also, after I heard of your faith in the Lord Jesus and your love for all the saints, cease not to give thanks for you, making mention of you in my prayers. Now, this is what we should do. When we find out someone is a believer, and especially they're really hungry for God's grace and they're grasping it, we should be praying for them. And here's what Paul's prayer was, that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give unto you the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of Him. So the idea is a spirit-taught mind. The Holy Spirit's got to open up our understanding to be able to grasp this. And then what knowledge of Him? See, to know God. The eyes of your understanding being enlightened. See, the Holy Spirit turns a light on in our minds. That's called illumination. That you may know what is the hope of His calling, and what the riches of the glory of His inheritance in the saints. So this is His inheritance. One day I was reading Satan's Policy of Evil by Keith Blades, and he was talking about at the rapture, and then how after that, I was talking to Murray about this on the way here, how Christ will be kicking Satan and his dark forces that are in places of governmental authorities and heavenlies, it'd be booting them out. There'll be war. Because it talks about, remember, there'd be a shout and a trumpet. Them are military terms, you know. So, and I was just basking in it, how we'll just glory to see Christ, not as a suffering sheep when he came the first time, right? But now as a King of Kings and Lord of Lords, the only potentate. And we're Look what it says. What is the hope of His calling and what is the riches of the glory of His inheritance in the saints? Because that day we're going to be changed in the twinkling of an eye, praise God. And all the problems that we go through here will seem like just an old dream. You know? And what is the exceeding greatness of His power towards us who believe? So believers, again, there's an exceeding greatness of His power towards us. We're objects of God's power. Now, that's not like on Pentecost when the Holy Spirit came upon them. For us, it's inward power to suffer long, to love, to do God's will. It's not signs and wonders outward. It's inward things God works in us and our inner man. According to the working of His mighty power. See, resurrection power. How far did they say we're going to go? Verse 23. Which He wrought in Christ when He raised Him from the dead and set Him at His own right hand in heavenly places. Far above all. See, what it say in Colossians? He made spoil of the principalities and powers. Now He showed who's the true, right? Set Him far above all principality and power and might and dominion in every name that is named, not only in this world, but also in that which is to come. And has put all things under His feet and gave Him to be head over all things to the church. So who's the church today? The body of Christ, right? Next verse, which is His body, the fullness of Him that filleth all in all. So He's the head, we're the body, and there's this resurrection life. And if we get a hold of that and stay in dependence, the things that God can do in our lives, you know, that, like when Paul looked back, he said, I kept the faith, right? He stayed the goal. He didn't water down the gospel, you know, so people would accept it more and he'd be more acceptable. He took persecutions, right? I mean, beatings 5 times with the 39 lashes. You know, Christ did it only once. You know, and to know at the end of your life, you know, you kept the faith. You know, and I think of a lot of people in the grace movement are getting older now. You know, and younger ones have to step up to the plate, you know, and or the message dies out. I think of churches, if you don't reach out to people and sharing the gospel, you know, and building in the young people and understanding how important it is to rightly divide the word, to understand the mystery that was given the Apostle Paul, then what happens? The message can die out, just like Paul said, and why he's still alive. All those in Asia had departed from him. You know, and then what happened? You've got this mixture of law and grace, the prophetic program, the kingdom program, and what comes out of that? You see, Roman Catholicism, actually. You know, you see the mixture of what? The priesthood, right? The candles, the incense, that was part of Israel's program, water baptisms. And so the message was pretty much lost of Paul as our apostle. And actually, the idea of the rapture, the difference of Israel and the body of Christ. You know, and praise God, he's always got a little remnant. You know, and you'll see if you look back in history that they had something that understood somewhat about grace, you know. And thank God for the pioneers that recovered that grace truth. It wasn't something new, you know. It was like Martin Luther about justification by faith, right? So I pray that. I go, God, give me a fire, you know, that I'll stand for this, share it, you know. Because if we don't, you know, it can get dark once again. And we have the power as we appropriate by faith. It's not outward. It's something we have. Every believer, the moment he trusts in Christ, is blessed with every spiritual blessing. Now we got to learn how by faith to sort of unwrap it, right? Appropriate it and make it real in our lives. So we're objects of God's grace. Praise God. God's power has been made available to the believer to meet the issues of life, everything we go through. Ephesians 3:19-21. And again, Paul's praying, and to know the love of Christ, which passes knowledge. So see, to understand how God and Christ loves us unconditionally, because we're used to what? Somebody loving us if there's something good in us, or we're doing something to make them love us. It takes the Holy Spirit to teach us God loves us unconditionally. He loves us at our worst. You know, and He doesn't love us more when we are serving Him. Which passes knowledge, that you may be filled with all the fullness of God. Now, unto Him that is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we ask or think. So, what the most we could pray for, or we could even imagine, God can do exceedingly abundantly. How? According to the power that worketh in us. See how it's in us? It's not outward manifestations. And then, who gets the glory? Unto Him be glory in the church by Jesus Christ throughout all ages, world without end. So you see, it's Christ living in us by His Holy Spirit, and we have resurrection life. And we have everything we need to deal and face with everything in life. That's why we need to study the Word of God. We need to rightly divide it so we can claim the promises He's given us. Not every promise in the book is mine, because it's not, you know. And this way, when we go through things, we know what to expect. We know sometime we'll get sick, and we're not guaranteed healing. Though God can heal if He chooses to. But we know that you know, to me, some people say, no, He never heals in the dispensation of grace. All right? Then other people say, oh, all you got to do is have faith. You know, and the thing is, you have to look at the scriptures. You know, and I see where this is in when the dispensation of grace has come, the maturity, and Paul's getting everything, and he said he left Trophimus sick. Why didn't he send him a prayer handkerchief, you know, or apron, you know? Or why didn't he go there? Or was he there? I left him sick. Why didn't he lay hands on him? Because the gift of healing was no longer in effect then. You know, the sign gifts. We went over that, if you remember. But on the other hand, God raised up, was it Erasmus? Epaphroditus. And Paul said that he had mercy on me because he was already going through all this stuff. So I see that God did at this time and didn't there. So I always pray, God, Your will be done. And if He doesn't, I know that God is leaving us here. And if He leaves us here in the dispensation of grace that we live in, we're not in the Pentecostal programs where you go lay hands and put oil on people, and you know, they were raising them up. You know, when Christ was doing it, everybody was getting healed. It wasn't just a few here and there, you know. And it wasn't for lack of faith. You know, he was doing it, you know. But that's not, we're not part of that program. So we're in a signless, we live by sight, right? And by faith, I'm sorry, we live by faith and not by sight. And sometime we're going to go through things. And that's why we equip ourselves, getting into the Word, memorizing it, thinking about it, understanding what God's promises are for today. So when we go through it, we can know how to go through it long-suffering with joy and with peace. And not disappointed, you know. So, did I read the whole thing? Yeah. So we need not be limited by circumstances or wrongful desires. You know, because people go, oh, you know, I struggle, you don't know what I'm facing. We don't have to be limited, because sometimes we're looking at the circumstances instead of the supply. You know, our circumstances are not a problem for the Holy Spirit, the things we face. And go to 1 Corinthians 10:13. There has no temptation, or that idea is a test or trial. There has no temptation taking you, but such as common man. So see, believers go through things just like unbelievers. They get sick, sometimes divorces, children die, plane crashes, car crashes. You know, it's not like in Israel, God's put a hedge around us, you know, when we keep the law. So we go through things just because we live in a fallen world, right? We have sin natures. Its power's been broke, but sometimes we get ourselves in our own problems, you know. When we don't forgive, you get to start having that resentment. But, I love that, but God. I love the but gods. But God is faithful. See, He'll do this in us. Who will not suffer you to be tempted beyond, tempted above, I'm sorry, that ye are able. And so that able is the idea of power, right? So I look at this and I think God won't allow us to go through anything that is beyond where He's brought us to and an understanding of our faith, you know, what we're able to and what we're, so we can learn what we have in Christ, you know. So when we face a bigger trial, you know, we got some experience under our belts. And when other people are facing something, it says the God of all comfort that comforts us in all of our tribulations, that we might be able to comfort those who are going through any trials, right? Yes. You know, as we go through things and God brought us through, you know, we can minister to someone else. But with the temptation, we'll also make a way to escape. Oh, people go, see, God will take us out of that. He'll take the problem away. No, it didn't say that. That you may be able to bear it or endure it, some versions say. So the way to escape is not in our own strength. It's through Christ in us, strengthening us to go through that long suffering. Colossians 1:29. Colossians 1:29. Whereunto I also labor, striving. See, this is Paul writing, and he said he learned something, that I become convinced. That means he learned, right? How did he learn it? As he went through things, see, Christ gave him our doctrine, right? Gave him truth. And when Paul went through things, he had to apply that truth. And what did he say? I've become convinced I can do all things. I believe that's where he said, through Christ who strengthens me. Now, look what he had learned. Wherefore I also labor, striving according how to His working, which worketh in me mightily. See, it's Christ in us, and that's who we can do all things through. Paul didn't depend on his own strength. Galatians 2:20. Back up a couple chapters. I am crucified with Christ. See, Paul has taken us back to Romans chapter 6, where he says, you died with Christ, you're buried, you rose with Christ, right? So I'm crucified with Christ. The moment we trusted in Christ's death as our debt for our sins, God identifies us and places us into His death. And what do? We die who we were in Adam. Nevertheless, I live. Yet not I. See, this is how Paul lived the Christian life. Yet not I, but Christ liveth in me, and the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith. And that's idea is the faithfulness of the Son of God who loved me and gave Himself for me. Religion will always tell you how to live the Christian life and tell you what to do and try and clean and shine up the flesh, moralize the flesh. But because the flesh likes to be thought of as I'm good. I'm very good. You know, just watch me, smell my smoke, you know. See, there's two sides to the flesh. The licentious side, you know, that some people will go in that area. But even the other side is, because remember, it was a tree to knowledge of what? Good and evil. See, so the flesh will do good things, but God won't accept it, because there's always motivations behind it. And those in the flesh, not one little thing can please God. And us in our own strength, we cannot produce fruit. Did you know that? Did it say, produce your fruit? Love, joy. What did it say? The fruit of the Spirit. See, the Holy Spirit has to produce them things in us. The only thing we can do is become a Pharisee. You know, self-righteous and prideful, and, you know, the flesh is, you know, eats that up. And Satan feeds that. So the Christian life is what? I live by the faith or the faithfulness of the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. That's powerful Christian living when Christ is living through you. So the Christian life, this is beautiful, is the outworking of the indwelling Christ. I think that was in the Scofield Bible. The Christian life is the outworking of the indwelling Christ. The life of the grace believer cannot be lived out in the energy of the flesh. Go to Galatians 5, 16 through 18. This I say then, walk in the Spirit, so conduct your life in the Spirit, that's the idea there, and ye shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. See, that's why I always say, let's not ask God, how do we quit sinning? Ask Him, because then we're sin-focused, ask Him, Lord, teach us to walk in the Spirit, and then naturally, you won't fulfill the lust of the flesh. For the flesh lusteth against the Spirit, so strong desires, and the Spirit against the flesh. See, there's that new, the Holy Spirit in our new nature, and you have that old nature. Now, its power has been broke, but if you get yourself under law and legalism, the Holy Spirit is not affecting. That's where it says you've fallen from grace. Christ is, you become estranged from Christ, or the idea, you become, trying to think of the word. I can't remember exactly where it's at. Estranged from Christ, actually. Let me see if I got it here. Yeah. And chapter 5, I'm going to go back to the other one. Verse 4. For I testify again to every man that is circumcised that he is a debtor to keep the whole law. See, it's you trying... See, these Galatians had trusted in Christ, and they were running a good race. And the legalist, Satan just sent some legalists there and come in there, told them you got to keep the law to live a sanctified life. You got to get circumcised. And what's it say? He's a debtor to keep the whole law. Christ has become of no effect unto you. That means inactive, to be rendered... made of no effect. So Christ is not, by His Spirit, going to be producing fruit if you get yourself under a performance-based system. And back to 5:17. For the flesh lusteth against the Spirit, and the Spirit against flesh. And these are contrary to the one to the other, so you cannot do the things that you would. You want to serve God, right? But you can't do it because you're trying in the energy of your flesh. The Christian life isn't lived like that. Now listen to this. But if ye are led of the Spirit, you're not under law. So the Holy Spirit never leads us under law, right? Religion will. You know, He's going to lead us to what? Grace. And we live in a dispensation of grace. So if we try and go back to law... the prophetic program, like going back to Matthew, Mark, Luke, John, or Pentecost, that was just a continuation of that program. The Holy Spirit's not doing that affecting. So where's all these signs and wonders? A lot of it's just emotion, or Satan will work in that. He'll give people signs and wonders and experiences, like I said, that counterfeit revival. You know, people are shaking, falling over, they're saying they're glued to the floor. They call it laughing in the spirit, barking like dogs, clucking like chickens, snorting like pigs. They're just shaking and they can't stop. And they say they're getting drunk in the spirit. And they're doing the same thing in Hinduism. So who's working in that? Satan. See, he's a great imitator. See, God's spirit produces inward power, the resurrected life of Christ in us. Satan is an imitator. He's going to take things from the Bible with God's other program and try and bring them in today. And people are, because it's in the Bible, but they don't rightly divide it, they get caught up in, you know, that's a terrible movement. You wonder, if people can get caught up in that, what's next? You know, remember it said in the end times, They'll heap up teachers, you know, they'll have itching ears, you know, because people want experiences, and we do want an experience with God, but we have to do it God's way, you know, and that's under grace. So all the power we need to live a God-glorifying life is available right now. You don't get it later, you know. It's taught in many churches that tarry for you know, seek the baptism of the Holy Spirit, and you got this, and being endued by power, and you know, with the evidence of what? Speaking in tongues? The moment we believe, we are sealed with the Holy Spirit, blessed with every spiritual blessing, indwelt by Christ, and we have resurrection life. So we don't seek anything else. All we do is seek to find how to apply the grace of God in our lives and learn how to walk in the Spirit. It's available right now. Every saint is blessed the moment you believe. You know, you don't get something later. The only thing we get is some experience. And I mean experience by going through things. You know, like when you're suffering and you're facing trials and things. But to deal with that, even a newborn baby Christian has just as much of spiritual life in him as somebody who's been saved for 50 years. They just don't have the experience yet. So we're equipped now, but many times we don't avail ourselves to it. Resurrection power is never effective until it's employed or appropriated. See, appropriate the idea of taking what we had and by faith living that out in dependence. Go to Philippians 2:13. Next book over. For it is God which worketh in you. You see that? In you? In your inner man, not outward manifestations. In you, to what? Both to will and to do according to his good pleasure. So, see, and that idea, worketh in you, is the idea of energizes. He gives us a spiritual energy. You know where it says the word of God that worketh in those who believe? That word there too is energizing. So as we take the Word of God in, the Holy Spirit and God working in us through His Holy Spirit energizes us and gives us that spiritual energy to walk in God's will. And you see, it's God. He works in our will, and also it's His power in us that what? The energy of His good pleasure. Praise God. 1 Thessalonians 2:13. That's the verse that I was just talking about. And it's the same word, worketh. For this cause, we also thank we God without ceasing, Because when you received the word of God, which you heard of us, you received it not as the word of men. See, the word of God isn't. God used men. He'll use us to share His word, but it's His word. But as it is in truth, the word of God, which effectually worketh, energizes also in you that believe. But see, you know there's a clause there? In you that believe. See, if we're not believing what the Word of God says, you know, without faith, it's impossible to please God, right? You know, we have to believe when as we go through things or things we face. It could be wrongful desires, or it could be pride, you know. And when the Holy Spirit brings the Word to our mind, you know, if we believe that, if I believe I can persevere and go through this, and what happens? The Holy Spirit produces that and gives us that spiritual energy. Colossians 1, 9 through 11. Take a little drink of water here. And this is, again, Paul is praying for them. For this cause, we also, since the day we heard of it, what? Their love in the Spirit, if you had backed up. Do not cease to pray for you. So you see how Paul stresses praying for each other? And to desire that you might be filled with the knowledge of His will and all wisdom and spiritual understanding. That, so it's being filled with the knowledge of His will. So again, like the Ephesians prayer, that you might have a Spirit-taught mind. The Holy Spirit teaching us, because to get spiritual understanding, you have to get it from who? The Holy Spirit. And where does He use? The Word of God. Why? Not so we could get big puffed the heads so we can show everybody how much we know, but that you might walk worthy of the Lord unto all pleasing. So what pleases God? Being fruitful. And remember, we can't produce the fruit, because remember, the fruit of the Spirit is what? Singular love. And then out of love comes that many facets. Love, peace, joy. That's the fruit of the Spirit. So, what pleases God is when we're walking under the control of His Spirit and we're being controlled by His love. And every good work. And so, see, we're doing a work, but what's it called? A labor of love, right? in the Colossians, I believe. And increasing in the knowledge of God. See, that's why. Because we want to know God better. And we love Him, why? Because He first loved us. So as we understand His love more, it just causes us to love Him more, and it causes us to want to serve Him. But in order to serve Him, we got to know how to do it His way. And look at this. And you're increasing in the knowledge of God, not just head knowledge. Strengthen with all might according to His glorious power. I know, and listen to this. Ooh, His glorious power to what? Cast out demons, to heal the sick, you know, to gain prosperous with your monies and your business, and you know, no, what's it say? Power for what? Unto all patience and long suffering with joyfulness. See, the Holy Spirit gives us power to go through circumstances with joy. We can still have joy. Yeah, and we don't have to fear, because God's word, what's it say? Be careful, and that idea is don't be full of care. So be anxious for nothing, but what? So see, here's where we make application when we face something, but by prayer. Now we got our mind on God instead of the circumstance. By prayer and supplication with thanksgiving. Why? How can we thank God going through things? Because He's working out all things for our good. And that good is conforming us into the image of Christ. I'll just read 12. Giving thanks unto the Father who has made us meet or qualified to be partakers of the inheritance of the saints in the light. Now, praise God. Philippians 3, 10 through 14. And this was Paul's desire. It's my desire, and I think any believer who really wants to know Christ, not just know about Him, but intimately, and this is should be our goal, that I might know Him and see the power of His resurrection. There is that energizing Christ in us and the fellowship of His sufferings. Now, I don't think that means we're... right here, I don't think it's talking about suffering. I think it means, where did He suffer on? The cross. See? So it's knowing Him in resurrection, but also sharing in His death. I believe that's... I could be wrong, but... being made conformable unto His death. See, so we die with Christ, right? But Paul wants to not only know that, I'm no longer an Adam, I want to know the power of His resurrection intimately. If by any means I might attain to the resurrection from the dead. Paul's not talking about later on, because he's guaranteed to be resurrected at the rapture, right? Every believer is. He's talking about right now in his life. He wants to be attained or grab hold of. When you think of attain, right? Like police officer, you know, arrest someone, the idea. So he wanted to get a hold of that now. And look at this, Paul's so honest. Not as though I had already attained. So he ain't saying, I'm perfect, I'm there. And ain't you glad for that? Because we learn, we still got a lot to learn, you know. Either we're already perfect, but I follow after it that I might apprehend for that which I am apprehended of Jesus Christ. Again, arrest or to grab hold. Get a hold of what we have in Christ. Brethren, I count not myself to have apprehended. So every moment, Paul wasn't walking in the Spirit, just like we're not. But this one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind. So I think not only the sins that are behind, but I think even accomplishments. Don't sit and rest on past accomplishments. And reaching forth unto those things which are before. Paul's like in the Olympics here. I press towards the mark for the high calling of God in Jesus Christ. That prize is knowing Christ and His resurrection life in us. I don't think too many believers get to that. I think a lot because of teaching. And then do we really want to know Christ in that way? You know, do we really want to experience Him so much controlling us from within, not against our will? You know, or do a lot of time we like our comfort zones, right? That's why, you know, last two Sundays when I taught Sunday school, I asked, why are you here? I asked everybody, I go, why did you come this morning? Because some people just get in the comfort zone. Well, this is what me and my family do. We've been doing it for years, you know, going to church. You know, or are we coming to get to know Him? And so we can know Him and the power of His resurrection. So we can learn to rightly divide the word even more accurate, so we don't get caught up in some erroneous... Remember, Satan's the counterfeiter, and a counterfeiter is so close to the original, it sounds just so right. So this way, you'll know the truth, and the truth will set you free, right? So that's what Paul wanted to know. So now, we're going to look at... I think we'll have time. Probably not to go through every verse, but we're going to look at... We are beneficiaries of God's teaching. So unless God gives us divine revelation, man cannot know God. I'm going to use an illustration. I was telling Mary about a lady on Facebook. She was saying how, isn't it wonderful to know that God gets tired? Because when He created the world, He rested on the, on the seventh day. And I thought, God is omnipotent. Is there anything too hard for God? Scripture said. And I told her, that idea there is not rested. He was tired. He was enjoying it. It's like when you're on vacation, I'm just enjoying it. I'm resting. You know, it's not, I'm worn out from my vacation, you know. I said, and then she was saying, because she's trying to relate. She's saying, well, Jesus got tired, and the Holy Spirit, he has feelings, and he agrees. And I go, yeah, he does. I said, but it won't say he gets tired. And I said, Christ in his humanity got tired. In his divinity, he was never tired. You know? But that's what happens, how you can get... That sounds so good. Oh, so, you know, God can relate. Jesus was tempted in every way that we were, but without sin, right? So you don't have to jump to things that aren't true, because now... Think about it. If God gets tired, what about when you're going through the, maybe the most terrible, terrible time or some kind of testing? Maybe he's tired and he can't do anything for you. See, that's not, that's what I mean, how erroneous teaching, you know. And what Satan will do is he uses human philosophy, religion, traditions of men, Colossians 1, and what? Extra biblical revelation. God spoke to me today. I got some revelation knowledge. And what happens is Satan just uses that. You know? So go to 1 Corinthians 1:21. For after that, in the wisdom of God, the world by wisdom, so what kind of wisdom is that? Human philosophy, right? Fallen wisdom of this world. By wisdom knew not God. It pleased God by the foolishness of preaching to save them that believe. See, the world thinks it's foolish. And see, it's got to be somebody sharing with us the Word of God. Right? And God reveals himself through his word. And now, we rightly divide it, but we, all the Bible's for us, but only, I think it's 13 books in Paul's epistles that are directly about us and to us. But we learn about God even from the Old Testament, you know, Matthew, Mark, Luke, John, you know. We learn about him in Revelation, and you know. But just remember, we don't go there for our instructions, or you're gonna, you know, get some confused teaching. The chapter 2:11-14. For what man knoweth the things of a man, say the spirit of man which is in him? So only you really know what you're thinking. You know, I only know what you reveal to me. You know, but somebody could see, you say, how you doing? Somebody say, oh, everything's great, you know, praise the Lord. And but they know inside maybe they're going through a lot, you know. Even so, the things of God knoweth no man but the Spirit of God. You see, and so if the Holy Spirit, by the book that he inspired, that he wrote, right, he used men, but it said all Scripture, that means graphe. In the Greek, that's the finished product. It wasn't just... He put the thoughts in their head. He caused them, he took their vocabulary, their personalities, but he got down on the graphe, the scripture, the finished product. Now we have received not the spirit of this world, but the spirit which is from God, that what? We might know the things that are freely given to us by God. So that we might understand his grace. Which things we also speak, not in the words which man's wisdom teaches. See, human philosophy and human corrupted wisdom, but that which the Holy Ghost or Holy Spirit teaches. Comparing spiritual things with spiritual. So the idea is spiritual thoughts with spiritual words. Expressing spiritual thoughts with spiritual words. But the natural man receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness unto him, neither can he know them, because they are spiritually discerned. So the only thing a natural fallen man can understand, that you're a sinner and that Jesus died for you. Otherwise, they can read this whole book. I've heard people say, I read the whole Bible and I don't believe a lot of it. Why? They're not a believer. The Holy Spirit isn't teaching them. And, you know, and I think anyway, when they tell me that, oh, you read it through once. I've read it years, over and over and over, and I'm still learning. So if you didn't really get anything out of it, you know, spiritual things are spiritually discerned. So see, God's got to reveal Himself to us. Otherwise, why do you think there's so many religions and their gods? Like Allah, they say He's a merciful God, but Allah, you got to appease. You can't have personal relationship. Or Hinduism with their millions of gods. Or Mormonism, which their God who... as man is, Brigham Young and what's his name taught, as man is, God was, and as God is, man can become. That God was once a man, see? If you don't get your understanding of God through His Word, then you're going to come up with, you know, like people go, my God would never send nobody to hell. My God's God of love. Well, you got a little made-up God then. Because He's righteous too. It says God is love, it says God's righteous, God's just. and He's fair, you know. So go to Job 9:11, all the way back just before Psalms. Remember, Job was the first scholars believe the first book that was written. Now this would be man, if God didn't reveal Himself to us, because God is spirit, right? He's invisible. Lo, He goeth by me, and I see Him not. He passes on also, and I perceive Him not. See, we couldn't know God unless He took the initiative to reveal Himself to us. Go to Romans 11:33. Ain't you glad God revealed Himself?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And the only way, so there's one mediator between man and God, the man Jesus Christ. The only way to know God, He said, if you see me, you've seen the Father, is through Jesus Christ. So I said Romans 11:33. Oh, the depths of the riches, both of the wisdom and the knowledge of God. How unsearchable are His judgments and His ways past finding out. See, we could never understand God. But we do have His Word. So now we can understand what God's like, because He revealed it. So the Holy Spirit, in His present teaching ministry, is indispensable to the understanding of God and the Word of God. And also to grasp the present truth of the Word of God rightly divided. Ephesians 1:17. That the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give unto you the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of Him. See, it's the Holy Spirit who, through His Word, will teach us who God is, what He's like, what His will is, what are His purposes. And when we rightly divide the Word, we see He has a purpose on the earth with Israel and the body of Christ, an eternal purpose for in the heavenlies, where we'll fill them positions of authority that the fallen angels and had. So let's see now. So law God taught through Moses, as he gave the law to Israel, the law tutored the believer living in a dispensation of law. Go to Psalms 119, 32-35. This Bible still is. These pages are so skinny. It's hard to... Okay, 32-35. I will run the way of thy commandments when thou shalt enlarge my heart. Teach me, O Lord, the way of thy statutes, and I shall keep it unto the end. Give me understanding, and I shall keep thy law. Yea, I shall observe it with my whole heart. Make me to go in the path of thy commandments, for therein I do delight. So, under law, God instructed what? Under law, right? They gave them instructions under the law from Moses. In the same 119, go to verse 9-11. Wherewithal shall a young man cleanse his way? By taking heed therefore unto thy word. Now here's a principle. We're not under law, but how can we live, if you want, a wholesome, spirit-filled life? It's going to be through God's word, right? So here's a transdispensational, but we don't do it through the law, because the Holy Spirit's not leading it. We do it what? Through Paul's epistles, under grace. What did I say now? Oh, 9-11. Wherewith shall a young man cleanse his way? By taking heed. See, so paying attention and applying it. Therefore, according to thy word, with my whole heart I have sought thee. Oh, let me not wander from thy commandments. Thy word have I hid in my heart. So memorized it. See, we can apply that too. That I might not sin against thee. See, it's the word of God, the Holy Spirit, that empowers us and also convicts our hearts. But you see how God instructed the believer under law with instructions under the law. To believers in that dispensation. So the law tutored the believer living in the dispensation law. Now the Holy Spirit, we live in what? The dispensation of grace. Paul tells us we're not under law, we're under grace, right? So the Holy Spirit teaches us through grace, not law. Galatians 5:16-18. This I say then, walk in the Spirit, and you shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. For the lust of the flesh lusteth against the Spirit, and the Spirit against the flesh. And these are contrary to one another, so that you cannot do the things that you would. But if you be led of the Spirit, you're not under law. So see, the Holy Spirit never leads us under legalism. Any system where the flesh can perform. Those in the flesh cannot please God. Go to Titus 2:11-15, and we're just about closing up. And it's got a couple more verses. This is how the Holy Spirit teaches us. Because He's not leading us under law, so what would He lead us under? We're not under law, but grace. Because the power of sin... And I think 1 Corinthians 15:56 or 57 says the power of sin is in the law. Nothing wrong with the law, but when it tells the flesh, don't do something, what happens? A rebel rebels. Or the flesh puffs up and says, I can do this, I'm good enough. But here's how God works in us today. For the grace of God that bringeth salvation has appeared to all men. I believe that's when Jesus Christ appeared to Paul on the road to Damascus. And what does His grace teach us? Teaching us that denying ungodliness, so what's that? Saying no to ungodliness and worldly lust, that we should live soberly, righteously, and godly in this present world. So what's godly mean? That word. God-like.
Christ-like.
Yeah. So God is love, right? What's He want to produce in us? Love. And what else are we going to be doing? Looking for that blessed hope, talking about the rapture. So I think He took us back to the beginning in a dispensation of grace when Christ raised up, saved the Apostle Paul, and gave him a new commission, a new apostle with the new commission for what? A new church called the Body of Christ. And now He's taking them to the end of when the dispensation of grace is over, looking for that blessed hope and the glorious appearing of. And now, if this don't say Jesus Christ is God, I don't know what verse is more clear. Appearing of the great God and our Savior, Jesus Christ, who gave Himself for us, that He might redeem us from all iniquity. And He wants to what? Purify unto Himself a peculiar people, zealous of good works. That's what grace is going to teach us, to be zealous of good works. But it's Spirit-produced fruit, right? It's not us producing the good works. Okay. I got two more places, then we're done. 2 Corinthians 3, 14 through 18. My stomach's growling. I hope it ain't being picked up by the by the microphone. 2 Corinthians 3, 14 through 18. But their minds were blinded, for until this day remaineth the same veil untaken away in the reading of the Old Testament, the Old Covenant, the Law. So see, they're blinded. They don't see the grace of God. They don't see that the Law has been fulfilled and Christ nailed it to the cross, which veil is done away in Christ. But even unto this day, so this was what? In the dispensation of grace. When Moses is read, so he's being taught. They're being taught, you need the Law to live holy. The veil is upon their heart. Nevertheless, when it shall turn to the Lord, the veil shall be taken away. So when they focus on the Lord, they trust in the Lord. Now the Lord is that Spirit. And where the Spirit of the Lord is, there's liberty. See, freedom to serve God. The Law told us what to do, but couldn't empower the person. Now, Christ in us produces that power, resurrection life, to serve God. But we all, with open face, beholding, as in a glass, the glory of the Lord. So we're focusing on Christ. Remember, that's why I said, quit focusing on our sins, and then we're identifying ourselves by our failures. We need to focus on Christ and look what happens. But we with all open face, beholding, that means holding your gaze there, as in a glass. So the idea, it's a reflection. Their mirrors were sort of metal and glass. The glory of the Lord, and what happens? Are changed into that same image from glory to glory. And how? Even as by the Spirit of the Lord. So see, it's not law. See, God's purpose for us is not to be on the law. But what would Satan do? It's in the Bible. He brings it. So why? Christians are carnal. They're trying in their flesh to live, and that's why they're wondering why they didn't experience an abundant life of joy. 1 Corinthians 2, 7-13, and that's the last one. again, for what man knoweth the things of a man, save the spirit of man which is in him? Even so, the things of God knoweth no man, but the Spirit of God. Now we have received not the spirit of the world, but the Spirit which is of God, that we might know the things that are freely given to us by God. And might know is in the subjective mood of possibility. That means it's possible that we won't, because we're not responding, or we're not into the Word, or we're not responding to what the Holy Spirit's trying to teach us. Which things we speak, not in words which man's wisdom teaches. So what Paul was speaking, what? Then he wrote down, right? And we have that today. But that which the Holy Ghost or Holy Spirit teaches, comparing spiritual things with spiritual. So the idea of expressing spiritual thoughts with spiritual words. And we're comparing also. So the Holy Spirit expressing spiritual thoughts and spiritual words, we have them in the Word of God. You know, and God instructs us what? How to study it, right? So we don't get confused and mix things up and allow Satan make us confused and trying to do things that God never called us to do. And that doesn't glorify God. So with that, this is going to be the last Bible study for at least for right now, because this second week now, really, people aren't showing up. But thank you, Myrtle, for being so faithful, coming and opening up doors. And praise God. And like I said, I'm going to be doing a thing on YouTube under Joe Balbach, and then that's Balbach, and teaching through the book of Colossians. There's about 20 on there right now, or 22, and I'll just continue with that. And wherever. At the rehab and, you know, whenever I preach at a different church. So let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you so much for your grace, Father. I thank you for the opportunity that you've given me just as we've had the Bible study going on, that just edify members of the body of Christ. I thank you for that experience, Father. I thank you for what you've done. And I thank you for when doors close, God, you open up other doors. And we just, anything that's been done here, Father, we give you the glory and the honor and the praise. And I pray that we'll take these things we've learned, God, and think about them and not let them just go to the back abscesses of our mind, but to bring them up and let them be fresh, that your Holy Spirit, as we meditate on it, might teach us all of our spiritual blessings in you, Father, and that we might rejoice and we might just desire to be zealous of good works that you'll produce in us, God. You're so good. And I pray, Father, if there's one listening through the internet that maybe I can't really understand these things, what I was reading about, because they don't have your Holy Spirit. I pray that your Holy Spirit would convict their heart to know that they're a sinner and they can't make themselves right, because you demand perfect righteousness because you're a perfect God. And that they'll realize they need a Savior that will give them His perfect righteousness. And the moment they'll trust that Jesus died in their place, took their punishment, He died as them, you'll place them into His death. They'll die who they were in Adam. They'll have the same personality, but they'll be someone new. They'll be buried who they were in Adam, and now they'll have a new nature with new desires, that desire to grow in you and to serve you, Father. And with the new destiny, instead of hell, heaven. And I just pray for that person, God, that if there's one out there, that you would just save them now. In Jesus' name I pray, amen. All right, turn this thing off.